As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of The Athletic Podcast Network. You should go to theathletic.com/downtoduck and get The Athletic for $3.99 a month. It's a great deal. What's not a great deal is that my guy Alex Spears is not on the pod with us today because he is having surgery on his broken wrist. Prayers up for my guy Al. Hopefully he gets well soon. Until then, I do have a special guest for today's podcast. It is Sam Vecenie. We are going to talk about draft prospects, mostly guys in the top five. I asked him about the highest upside player outside of the top five. If the Thunder were to fall outside, who should they target? We also get some really good Poku talk. Oh boy, some juicy Poku talk in here. Just a little warning. We recorded this before the Celtics-Thunder game. The complete debacle that was the Celtics-Thunder game in which the Thunder won. They snapped their losing streak. They will not hold the longest losing streak in Thunder history. They will have tied it, though. And it was hilarious. Lou Dort afterwards was asked, I think Joe Masato was the one that asked him about whether he knew about it. And he was like, oh, yeah. He said that he told Shea that they were not going to lose today, and they did not. Lou was spectacular. 24 points on 14 shots. He got to the free throw line a ton in this game. Baisley was unbelievable. About 40 seconds left. The window was like just cracked open there for the Celtics to pull out a miracle, and Baisley just drove in transition. Just monster dunk. He finished with 21 points, 10 boards, 4 assists. He was spectacular in this game. Poku had some moments. He was nice. Isaiah Roby had some nice moments. Fee was okay. Ty Jerome, I thought, played really well in this game. So there it goes, guys. There goes the losing streak. And honestly, an outcome that really, I think both fan bases were pretty upset about afterwards. Because I think that both fan bases understand the goals of both franchises. And still, a top five pick is the goal. And because that's the goal, I did have Sam Vecenie on. The conversation goes about 25 minutes. And he's one of the smartest draft guys out there. So enjoy the conversation between Sam and I. And we will talk to you guys again on Friday. I've got NBA draft guru from The Athletic, Sam Vecenie. Sam, what's up?
Andrew, how you doing, man?
Man, I cannot complain. It's we only have a few weeks left of watching this particular Thunder team, and then we have the NBA draft to look forward to, and that's why I brought you on. I want you to first explain to Thunder fans why it's so important for OKC to land in the top five. Right now, they sit at the fifth best odds in the NBA lottery, but why is it so important for them to land in the top five in the actual NBA draft?
Well, I'll be honest. I'm not real worried about them landing in the top five because, as you know, having watched this team over the course of the last what, let's, I mean, they probably haven't won in 3 weeks now, right?
They haven't won in the month of April. Yes.
They haven't won in the month of April. Okay. Yeah. There we go. I was going to say, feels like it's been a while at the very least. And like not even just losing, just getting the doors blown off of them most nights at this point.
Yep.
Yeah, the top five is really important because this is a draft where there are five guys that I feel very confident in projecting as being tier one or like higher end tier two players. Mm-hmm. There are, I would say, at least four players in this class that I would take over Anthony Edwards, who went number one last year.
Interesting. Who are those four?
So for me, those four are Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and Jalen Green.
Okay.
I haven't done like a final run through on Jonathan Kuminga yet. I'm actually planning on doing that today, funny enough, where like I really, you know, run through like 10 of his games and, you know, dive deep into everything that he did this year in the G League. I would say there's a chance I feel that way about Jonathan Kuminga, where I would take him over Evan or ahead of Anthony Edwards, but I'm not quite sure yet. His season in the G League wasn't quite as good as what I was hoping it would be.
Yeah. Is it the shooting, or is there something else with Kuminga that makes you hesitate?
Yeah. Shooting, defensive engagement, wasn't quite as impactful on defense as what I was hoping. Does play hard. So like, I kind of think that that stuff will kind of work itself out a little bit. I actually think the shooting mechanics are pretty okay too. But just like also not quite the power athlete that Anthony Edwards is either. Like Anthony Edwards like displaces dudes in the NBA even, let alone at lower levels like the G League and in college.
Yep.
I don't really, certainly not right now. Jonathan Kuminga can't really displace guys like that. Maybe he could at some point because he's getting bigger, getting stronger, getting more physical kind of every day. But yeah, it'll be close. But I mean, that's the kind of level that we're talking about with these five prospects. And then the drop off from those guys, I mean, like I just did, you know, Scotty Barnes's NBA draft guide profile yesterday. And I had Scotty Barnes at number six on my most recent big board.
Yep.
And I mean, I still think there's a case for him at number six, but like very clearly a tier three player. You know, very real non-shooter at the moment, a guy that kind of struggles to really get any sort of offense in the half court. And as we've seen over the years with non-shooters who can really pass the ball, but just like can't score for themselves, it can become a little bit difficult for those guys at the next level. And it can become difficult on offenses at the next level. Like I think Oklahoma City's genuinely the perfect landing spot for Scotty Barnes. I would love nothing more than to see that. But at the same token, there is like a real drop off, I think, from Jonathan Kuminga to a Scotty Barnes.
So staying with the top five, or just one more question. Let's say OKC lucks out. They get the number two pick. They miss out on Cade Cunningham, who is number one for most everybody. That's like a no-brainer pick. Who would you take? If you're Sam Presti, who do you take to fit alongside this SGA, Lu Dort, Poku group?
Yeah, it's a really fun question, I think. It would come down to Jalen Suggs or Jalen Green for me.
Okay.
I really like the idea of playing Poku as like a weird center player. I know that he's skinny. I know that, you know, you're probably going to get demolished on the glass with Poku at center. I think they're going to have to figure out a way to navigate that. Like maybe they end up with the Houston pick at number six and can take a Scotty Barnes or someone like that to play next to him. But yeah, it would come down to one of the guards for me. I mean, right now I would lean Jalen Suggs because I would like to have the passing and playmaking out there with Shea and Dort. Mm-hmm. I think that would actually be a really good fit. I also would want the better defender out there with Shea. And I think that Suggs has a bit more of a well-rounded, versatile game than what Jalen Green does. Having said that, like, that decision would not be finalized for me by any stretch. I would really need to like put a substantial amount of thought into it, as opposed to like answering a question in a minute on the podcast. Right. Like, it'd be like, really, like, Jalen Green's explosive scoring ability next to someone like Shea. I mean, it would be so fun. It'd be so filthy, and Dort would kind of be really perfect for them, especially if the shooting is real. Because both of those guys are real pull-up threats. Both those guys can play on and off the ball. They do have their defensive struggles, obviously, and Dort would maybe be able to kind of, you know, make up for those a little bit. But I don't know. I might be talking myself into Green. It'd be one of the two. I mean, gun to my head right now, I think I would take Jalen Suggs, but it'd be really close.
Yeah. That's kind of the beauty of the Thunder roster currently, is that you can fit really any of these five guys onto the team, and you're not like, oh my gosh, I don't know how this is going to work. Like, it'll work however you need it to. That's how malleable most of the guys are, which is really nice. Okay. Next question. And depending on how much time you have, this may be our last question.
No, we're good. Whatever you
need. Okay. If there is a swing for the fences guy in the 6 to 12 range, who is it? Mm-hmm. Because that's what the Thunder do. Like, they swung for the fences with Darius Bazley a couple years ago. They did it with Poku last season. They're inevitably going to do it with whoever is in this draft at whatever pick they have. That's just what they're going to do, is swing for the fences. So who would that guy be?
Yeah. I mean, look, to me, like, Scotty Barnes is a pretty real swing for the fences.
Okay.
Just super hyper fun player, like, not an elite level athlete, but a high level athlete, more of like an extension athlete as opposed to like a vertical pop athlete, like a long jumper versus a high jumper, right?
Okay.
Really high level defender, very switchable, really high level passer that I think would fit as like a elite level role player next to a lot of like scoring guards, especially if you were to end up with both the Thunder pick and like the Houston pick at number 6, right? The thing, again, is just like, he's a total non-scorer, and you'd have to work with the lack of scoring. But the other thing that he brings, he's just like so infectious and fun. One of the most like expressive, passionate prospects that I can remember evaluating.
Yeah.
I really just love watching him play. There are real concerns, and I am genuinely worried about the lack of scoring, but if they could do something with his shooting and scoring ability, I would be a fan of that. I would also point out Kai Jones as well. But I think Kai Jones has like some pretty substantial, I don't want to say overlap with Poku, because Poku's like outing running pick and rolls and like is like downshifting and then like, you know, throwing these like crazy crossovers. I mean, that guy,
he's been a wing for the Thunder, unquestionably.
No, totally, he's like a three for them, basically. You could make a case, I think, for Kai Jones is like 6'11", real shot blocking potential, very high level athlete, and very high level athlete in terms of the way that it functionally presents itself on the court as well. Moves his feet laterally really well on the perimeter, has a lot of work to do in terms of like technique, in terms of the way that he reads the game, but he also didn't start playing basketball really until he was like 16 years old in the Bahamas. And then it just like rapidly happened for him. So yeah, I would say Kai Jones is probably the next guy that would like kind of stand out as a real like project player. You know, like Keon Johnson stands out as well. Very, very high level athlete, like elite athlete. really good lateral quickness, really good vertical pop, obviously. Plays at a very high level in terms of energy and in terms of motor, which I feel like are things that this Oklahoma City front office has tended to value throughout the course of the years. Again, though, another guy that like needs to figure out how to score the basketball consistently because he's basically a non-shooter right now.
Yep.
So, I mean, if Oklahoma City feels like they can work with these non-shooters, which they have in the past, how much of that is the Troy Weaver influence versus what Sam Presti is looking for? I think we're still trying to figure that out a little bit.
Yep.
With how Oklahoma City is going to draft. You know, it'll be interesting, but they're going to have a fascinating draft this year. I'm really excited to see where it goes.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Yeah. Another guy, Josh Giddey, it feels like a new age Thunder player who's like multi-positional, good passer. Don't exactly know what he is, but the Thunder almost prefer that you don't know what he is. Yeah. That's kind of the players that they have on their team. Like, is Shea a point guard? Yeah, probably. But is he really? I don't know. You know, what is Poku? Right. Who knows? Like, what is Bazley? I don't know. I mean, they're just kind of guys out there on the floor.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just went and saw Josh play over here in Australia on Saturday. So I'm probably one of like 10 people in the American basketball industry that have seen Josh this year at this point and play live.
Give me your quick take on him.
I like him a lot as like a secondary playmaker. I think his feel for the game is off the charts as a passer. Needs to kind of work on defensively, like getting in a stance. It's not that he doesn't want to defend, it's that he's 18 years old and is still learning how to play professional basketball, right? This is hard, right? He's dropped a triple double on I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Monday here. We almost dropped a triple double in the game that I saw. Working through the jump shot, but everything that I saw, like I saw him, you know, from 5 feet away. And I think the mechanics look pretty clean in terms of continuing to work through the jump shots projection. The big actually plays through contact really well, too. That was one concern that teams had about him coming into the year because he was really skinny. He's put on a lot of weight, has put on a lot of strength. Everyone I've talked to over here in NBA front offices has told me very professional approach, very, you know, driven mindset in terms of wanting to be like a high level player. All that stuff checks out really well. The question is, he has this weird intersection of not being a lightning quick athlete and still really needing to improve his handle. Like you can, like Lou Dort right now would stop him from doing anything on a basketball court in the NBA because Dort would just like climb up into his airspace. And I don't think that Josh would handle that all that well right now. Having said that, like Josh would not be the primary player that the Thunder would put on Lou Dort. So, or would use Lou Dort to put on, I guess. So, you know, there's give and take, obviously. But if he can tighten up the handle, if he can continue to iron out the jump shot, which I think he will, he profiles really nicely as, I think, a secondary, like second side playmaker, who's going to always make the right decision, who's going to be a really, really good role player.
Yeah, he kind of feels like I said, a New Age Thunder player to me. And also like international, like the Thunder have so many international players right now that it wouldn't surprise me if he was one of the guys on the Thunder's list.
Well, and the Thunder really like these guys that have an intersection of high basketball IQ and like crazy work ethic, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like Poku, everyone says, like really high level worker. Lu Dort, there were like some questions about basketball IQ, but like nobody works harder than that guy. Yep. You know, Shea, crazy worker, super high basketball IQ, just in terms of the way that he navigates like his limbs and his body and uses his length extension. Baisley was always known as a pretty good worker. And if you go back and watch the AAU stuff, you can see some feel for the game stuff. But, you know, I think he was just kind of a wild card in a lot of ways.
Oh, without a doubt. Still is in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, really is. What a fascinating player. I don't really know what to do with him right now.
Yeah. I don't either. I've watched every minute that he's played this year. And I'm still like, I don't know. I don't know what he's going to be.
But no, yeah. Like it feels like it, within this recent Teo Maledon as well kind of fits this super professional approach. Very clearly has like high level feel for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I think that Giddey does fit a lot of the feel for the game and like professional mindset stuff that the Thunder have looked for in the past. So by no means would surprise me if they ended up, you know, say the Houston pick is not going to fall below like 7 or 8.
Right.
I don't know that. It's, I mean, Josh like would be on the board for them, I think.
Yeah, he's more of like a trade up candidate where maybe that Miami pick coupled with something else could get them up in like the Josh Giddey range. Okay, we'll end with this. Give me your Poku take. Like, what are your thoughts on him from the draft to now? And then obviously you guys did that redraft of the 2020 redraft. You'd written that you said that you would have taken him as high as 4, depending on who was there. Just what are your thoughts on him and maybe what his ceiling could be?
I honestly can't put a ceiling on that guy. That could like really work to the point where he's like clear all-star. Cause there's just like flashes where I don't know that I've seen a 7-footer outside of like Kevin Durant do.
I know. And as somebody that covers the Thunder, it's like, I can't say that. Like, I can't talk about Kevin Durant.
And he's
Poku.
Like
it's just wild.
Like, he's nowhere near as good as Kevin Durant. Like, it's just remotely close.
Exactly. Like, that's, yeah.
At the same token, for me at least, when I watch him, it's the way that he decelerates, plays with patience, changes gears. Like he plays at a pace that is all his own and has the type of body control that 7-footers just don't have. Like, like Nikola Jokic has it, but like, it's not like you play Jokic is like a 3 where he's running pick and roll. Like you mostly, you know, enter the ball to Jokic in the high post or like at the top of the key. And then like maybe someone sets a ball screen, but for the most part, he's just going to kind of like get the guy into the spot that he wants him and kind of open up the court, or he's going to grab and go like in transition and kind of start the offense that way. Like with Poku, like you're running like side ball screens and like, look, the flashes only happen like, you know, 4 or 5 times a game.
Right. Yeah.
He'll rest of the time, it's like he's almost unplayable now.
He had this move last night where he drives the lane, ball fake, sidestep, dumps it off to Moses Brown for a wide open dunk. And it's like, how in the world did he do that? Next play,
it's the passing
drives
too.
The passing is outrageous. Next play, drives the lane, shoots a floater that misses literally 4 feet from the rim. And you're like, it's just such a grab bag of just plays from him.
It's so weird. The passing thing is like crazy. Like he'll, he'll like get a baseline drive, do like a Euro step around someone, and then throw like a wrap around from the baseline up to the opposite wing. And you're just like, what just happened?
He throws passes I didn't know existed. Like he does things I didn't know could be done.
And it's just like, who is this? Like, what is going on? Look, part of this is like the way that I've started thinking about the draft is like a little bit different than how I used to. In the top five, like if I can get a guy, like I want a guy who can just be a star at the end of the day. Those are the guys that genuinely move the needle in the NBA, genuinely like change the trajectory of franchises.
Yep.
And look, there is probably a 65% chance that Poku is like not even an he might not even be an effective NBA player, right? At the end of the day, I think he probably is because his game has translated to the point where he has been able to play at his own pace. He has been able to showcase some of the things that he does.
Yep.
And a lot of his mistakes are born out of aggression that you can kind of tamp down at some point if it doesn't work. But right now, if you're the Thunder and you're losing by double digit points in every game in April, it feels like you want him to really, you know, to quote Christopher Walken, explore the studio space, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Like you want him to, you know, look dumb and do things that are expanding his game in some way. In learning where his boundaries are as a player. Yeah, I think that it, I think the way they're handling it is perfect. And I think he's going to be helped by it. But it, like to go back to that, like, you know, maybe there's like a still like a 30% chance that he's like not an NBA player that's like super effective and like helps you win games. Maybe there's like a 45% chance he's just some role player who like, or like, you know, low level starter who figures it out. I mean, I think his chance at being a super high level star is higher than anyone else in this draft class other than LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards. Because there's just consistently those flashes that are different than anyone else. That are, they're just like, we can talk about like Tyrese Halliburton, and Tyrese Halliburton has had an awesome rookie year.
Been great. Yep.
He's been phenomenal. He doesn't do half that like Poku does. Like if you were making a 5-minute highlight video of Poku and Tyrese Halliburton combined, 4 minutes and 15 seconds of it would be Poku.
Yeah.
And then 45 seconds of it would be Tyrese doing shit, which like, that's no disrespect to Tyrese. He plays a really solid game and that's like a huge part of his benefit and a huge part of who he is as a player. But yeah, with Poku, it's just different. He's a tough evaluation, but I love watching, like I'm at the point now, he's probably played, 700 minutes this year, something like that.
Yeah. Almost 900 minutes for Poku.
900. So I've probably watched, you know, 650 of them already. And it's the reason that I watched the Thunder at this point is not like Shea, even though Shea's been out like for a while. Right. And miss time. It's not like Lu Dort. It's not Bazley. It's that guy. Because that guy is like a genuine question mark in the NBA that could like alter the way that like a franchise makes decisions. Like Tyrese Halliburton, like all due respect, who I love, I think he's awesome. I think he's legit going to be like a top 50 player in the NBA at some point. Like, I don't think he's going to alter the way that Sacramento makes decisions about their future. There's a world where Poku like legitimately alters the way that that team has to make decisions. And it's a low level outcome, like in terms of percentages. we should feel much better about Tyrese Halliburton in terms of like expected value becoming, maybe not even expected value, about the probability that Tyrese Halliburton is going to become an effective role player, right?
Yeah, he's already doing it. I mean, he did it last night against the Mavs.
Like, right.
He played really well against the Mavs and led them to a win. And Poku hasn't really led the Thunder to anything yet, except for right. just me wanting to watch their games. That's like the only reason
no,
that I
totally.
Even tune in.
And Tyrese Halliburton's going to make $150 million in his career, and he's going to be like phenomenal. And I genuinely mean zero disrespect when I talk about Tyrese Halliburton like that.
Yeah.
But Poku like is just a different dude.
Like, yeah, totally. he's what we talked about earlier. Like, he's a swing for the fences. Like, if you connect,
yeah,
like you've really got something, and you've already got something with Shea that's like definable, where you're like, okay, I can, the path to being an all-star for Shea is there, and if he takes it, it's not going to be that difficult of a role to get him.
Shea's
there.
Already an all-star. Like, I know he didn't make the team, but like, he's like, he's that guy. Like, if he didn't make the team, he was number 13 in the West. You know what I mean? Like, or 15, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a clear top 30 player in the league, I think. So, yeah, Shea's ridiculous. Like, I'm not worried about where he's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sam, we really appreciate your time here on our show. We follow all your stuff already. We read all of your stuff already on The Athletic. If you're not, you should be. Go to theathletic.com/downtodunk. You can get it for $3.99 a month. You just go even look at his big board. If you want to become educated on where these guys should be placed in your brain, just go check it out. Sam writes basically a book or several books a year on the NBA draft that goes on The Athletic, and it will make you a smarter fan. So please go do that. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you guys again on Friday.